I actually thought Bob's was better in the end. I did. I can admit that. There's a mosquito. I'm mad enough to admit that. Limits. Would you agree? I mean, Bob really put maximum. He's no George Pickens, I'll say that. He put maximum effort into that, didn't he?
You're a fascinating man, you know that?
Thank you.
Yes, he did. He put max effort into that. Like we did, we put in more effort with our slamming the table acting like Brian Kelly than he did.
Yeah, let's slam some tables around here if you're Mike Tomlin. You look like a million bucks, Limits, even though you just disappeared from the window. You're clean shaven, and you have a very, very clean, bright, apparently new Penguins ball cap on.
Yeah, huh? Pretty new. Probably about 6 months old.
I love it, man. I love it. And this time of year reminds me of my days as a Penguins beat writer. The savvy old news hound, back when he was the savvy young news hound, 1997. I think we may have gone out to Wilkes-Barre that year for training camp, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe it was a year later. But there I was at South Point trying to talk to Jaromir Jagr, him not talking to me. Trying to talk to Dave Molinari, him not talking to me. Trying to talk to Tom Barrasso, him not talking to me, except for inviting me onto the ice to see if I wanted to take a shot on him after I wrote in Penguins Report. And I quote, Barrasso has more personal baggage than a fleet of UPS carriers. He wasn't happy with that line, Limits.
So looks like that's our next Austin and Joe on the road with Barrasso.
No, I don't think that's ever going to happen. So he invited me onto the ice to take shots on him. He said, you want to come out here, Starkey? This was at South Point. And it was all I could do to keep from saying, sure, I'd love to. And like Tom Fitzgerald, I'll see if I can score from center ice. You think that would have gone over well?
No.
Me neither. Like David Volek, I'll take a slap shot from inside the blue line. See if I'll score on you, Tommy. Wouldn't have gone over well, but mostly fond memories of those years. Wonder Twin. Including, on the good days, when Jagr was in the right space, we actually played a little basketball at South Point. We put up the makeshift hoop outside behind the facility, and guess what the teams were one day? Take a guess.
I'm going to say you and Darius Kasparaitis against Jagr and Barrasso.
And thankfully not Barrasso. It was me and Kevin Constantine against Don Jackson. Donnie Jackson. Remember the big, tall assistant coach? Of course you don't. You weren't even born yet. Him and Jagr wearing, I'll say, cowboy boots. It was unbelievable.
Those boots were made for walking.
It quickly devolved into more of a... wait a second. Why is our IT guy calling me at the beginning of the show? Why is that happening right now? Is something wrong with the... I don't understand.
Well, everything is good on my end back here.
Why in the world that would happen at the beginning of my radio show? Sort of unbelievable. Perhaps he's butt dialing me. Yes? Am I on the radio? Can people hear me?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Then that seems to be all that would count right now. Yes?
Maybe.
I'm not sure about that.
Maybe he has a take.
He might have a take, on Barrasso. He might. I don't even remember what I was talking about. Oh, yeah, Jagr and Donnie Jackson against me and Constantine. And it turned into more of a horse, a game of horse. Which leads us to you and I being invited to Duquesne, I believe, to play against who?
Megan McConnell, Duquesne women's basketball. This will be a lot of fun.
She doesn't know what she's in for.
No.
I'm an unbelievable horse player. Wait, we both play her like we're a combined team, or her against me with you there?
I think it's going to be like one-on-one horse.
Oh, okay. Let's do that.
Best out of the three players.
Yeah, let's do that. And let's get to a six-pack on a Wednesday morning. Because there's a lot happening today. We're going to talk to the big boy, Mark Cabali, off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. Yeah, he's going to join me in the noon hour. We have the general with the card of the week, but we have all kinds of things happening right now. Crack one for me, would you please? Thank you, Wonder Twin. Adam Schefter reporting that trade talks with... Oh, my God.
Is it
Oh, my God. What is happening here? Can you go ask the boss of the company why I'm getting calls at the beginning of my radio show?
Would you like me to answer it?
Yes, please.
Here, I'll call him.
That trade talks are slowing down with Davante Adams' two preferred destinations. And that would be New Orleans, or New Orleans if you prefer, and the Jets. Now, with New Orleans, it's Derek Carr's injury. He would go there, Adams would, because he wants to play with his old college buddy. That's why. And his old college buddy is now out week to week. So that's slowed down. And then, as you may have heard, the news broke on this show yesterday, and I was watching our old friend Greg Giannotti and Boomer Esiason in New York today, this morning, doing their show, and all hell has broken loose with Robert Saleh being fired yesterday. And we don't know where that will lead with the Davante Adams thing, because there's just a little bit of upset with the Jets. They probably need to stabilize for a little while here. And there was already questions, people saying Adams wants to know how long Aaron Rodgers is going to be there. How long will he be in New York? So that can only be good for another team known to be chasing Davante Adams. And that's your Pittsburgh Steelers, right? That's Omar Khan and company. Did we get an answer on what's happening here? What is yes. happening? Is he butt dialing?
No, Joe. The nice man was in the parking lot and saw that your trunk was open. The trunk of your car is open, and he wants to shut it for you. What a nice gesture.
That part is nice. The part about calling me at the beginning of the radio show, not so nice.
He's a concerned citizen trying to help.
I know.
You should be saying thank you.
No, no, no. I do appreciate that part of it. There may have been better ways to communicate the situation. I left my trunk open. Can you believe? Well, yes, you probably can believe that, right?
Yes, I can. But why would you leave your trunk open?
Because I was in a hurry and I was practicing a new version of I've done everything for Mosey. He's done nothing for me. No, stop. Let's hear Bob's.
Did you ever hear both at the same time? Well, just synced up in harmony.
You are a genius. I'm dead serious about that. That is incredible to play both those at the same time.
Might win a lot of awards.
I love how Bob took it up. But back to the question, which I don't even know if there was one. How do the Steelers, are they rising in the Davante Adams sweepstakes here? Tell him yes to close my trunk, by the way, if
I
he
did.
Was looking. Okay. Are they rising? Is this good? I hate to say it because Derek Carr is hurt, but for the purposes of the Steelers getting Davante Adams, Schefter saying talks are, quote, slowing down has to be a positive development, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. And the factors of the two teams that are the front runners almost went at it again.
Yeah.
The Jets fired their coach. The Saints, Derek Carr's hurt, and they're kind of starting to fall apart after a really good early start.
Yeah.
So you would think that logically, here come the Steelers. They're like Chucky looking right behind. Here I come. Come get Davante Adams.
I think it could happen, but I still think percentages are very, very low. Don't you? First of all, why would he want to come here? He watched the game the other night like everybody else. You think he thinks he'll thrive in that offense? Not to mention, he's probably saying, man, that number one receiver they have there, that doesn't look like fun to play with that guy. The guy throwing his helmet on the sidelines, the guy everybody feels the need to babysit, the guy the coach is lying about, that doesn't look like a lot of fun. Even if I were to go there, if I wind up getting a ton of catches, how's that guy going to react?
Or he could view it as, well, maybe I'll be the number one wide receiver and go in there, and this other guy, well, maybe his targets will diminish, and I'll still be the number one guy, and they'll pay me, and it'll be fine.
That's true. That's true.
Well, Davante Adams.
Put it this way. The game the other night, every aspect of it was hardly an advertisement for, hey, come here and join this offense. It's tons of fun.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And the other thing that stands out to me is, remember that the Jets fired their coach after 5 weeks, and no team that has done that has ever made the playoffs.
Yeah.
I know they have Aaron Rodgers.
I know.
And the Saints are kind of overrated. If you take those three teams and you say who has the best chance to go to the playoffs and make a run, I mean, we don't think the Steelers have that big of a chance, but they have a better chance than the Jets and Saints.
Next. Thank you, Limits. Russell Wilson. We're reaching the point of perhaps no return or the point of return with this guy. He's ready to go. He's been medically cleared for 2 straight weeks, according to Jerry Dulac. So let me ask you a question. If he gets through today fine, if he looks good, we'll let his participation and the quality of it be our guide. I'm going to ask you the way I usually ask these questions. What percent chance that Russell Wilson starts this game? Are you allowing for the chance even? I am. I'd only say about 10%, but I am.
I'm thinking more so 20, but that's still, you know, 1/4's worth, if not even that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Speaking of that, crack one, would you please? Charlie Batch says there's a leadership void around here. He thinks the defense has its share of leaders, but the offense needs that veteran guy. It sounds like Charlie is lobbying for Russell Wilson, that he could be that guy that the offense has lacked. And I'll say this much. The offensive captaincy has been sort of a weather vane, a canary in the coal mine, if you will, a symbol of the historic hideousness of this offense. They have now gone 3 straight. They're in the middle of their 3rd straight year of having an offensive captain be a demoted quarterback. Think about that for a second. 2 years ago, you had the ridiculous sight of Mitch Trubisky after he was benched, after he got into an argument with Deontay Johnson, who then walked backwards out of the locker room. Walking out there for the coin toss as a captain, a disgraced quarterback, is your captain. Now go to last year, the Kenny Pickett incident. By the end of the year, you had an even more disgraced quarterback, because if you believe a lot of people out there, he sort of quit on the team. So another disgraced quarterback as your offensive captain. This year, you have a guy who's been medically cleared for 2 weeks, but will only take second team reps today as your offensive captain. So I would posit, and I know that's a big word, maybe I should just say I would argue, that you'll know the Steelers are finally on the right track offensively when the guy running out for the coin toss actually plays. Would you agree with that?
I'd say so. Yeah, I mean,
and I didn't even mention that Najee Harris somehow became a captain at the age of 11, and then 1 year later was no longer a captain and never will be again. That was an odd little story that never gets talked about. How does that happen?
I think they
sound like they've never had multiple offensive captains. You give a guy a captaincy that early in his career only if you believe he is an outstanding leader, like a guy that young, and then a year later. Do you want to say stripped of it? He didn't have it anymore and never will again.
Right.
Nothing to see here. Thoughts?
I think they have an emerging leader in Zach Frazier, but as a rookie, it's going to take time just for him to get more reps under his belt and for more people to respect him. I think they do respect him, but more so respect as a leader. But yeah, right now there's nothing. I mean, Van Jefferson is going to come in and be your leader? No. Justin Fields, everybody rallies around him.
How about Sayamalu as your offensive leader? Can a guard be a leader? I think so.
Yeah.
Why not?
DeCastro, I think, was a leader. Maybe not so much as Marquise Pouncey was.
Pouncey certainly was. The best case scenario is your starting quarterback is your leader, period. If your starting quarterback isn't your captain or one of them, I think there's a problem. Next. Penguins, as you mentioned off the top of the show, open their season tonight. And there are a couple of different storylines here, Limitless Wonder. One of them is this idea of low expectations, which for some reason really burns my behind You know that? Where do they and why do they get the benefit of low expectations? Kyle Dubas yesterday stood in front of the media and he didn't exactly lay down the gauntlet for his team. It was pretty much, we might make the playoffs, but if we don't, who cares? Are you kidding me? He's paying guys tens of millions of dollars, guys of high pedigree, tens of millions of dollars to win now. This is one of the biggest farces perpetrated on Pittsburgh sports fans that I've seen in a long time. Not just him, and maybe not him at all, but the media around him and a lot of people around town saying, hey, look at this transition the Penguins are going through. Boy, is he doing a good job. I don't expect much this year. Why should we? But if it doesn't work out, they all of a sudden have all these prospects and draft picks. Give me a break. They're built to win now, and they better win now. Players of high pedigree and big salaries better perform. They have a two-time all-star goaltender who got signed to a $28 million contract who's not yet 30. He better be really freaking good. That's my expectation for Tristan Jarry. It's not a prediction. It's an expectation. You go into a season with a guy of that kind of pedigree at the most important position, and it's a transition year. We might make the playoffs. We might not. Everything's okay. They'll show me. If we don't make the playoffs, everything's still good around here. Don't expect much, please. You got a two-time All-Star goaltender. Let's go to the blue line. You have one of the highest paid players in the sport who won the Norris Trophy 2 years ago. That headlines your defense. You have Chris Letang, who when healthy is still a really good player. You have Marcus Pettersson, who would be highly coveted on the free agent market right now if he was out there. And you have Ryan Graves, who you paid a ton of money to at least be good. He's been good in other places. Why shouldn't he be good here? Why shouldn't we expect him to be good here based on his pedigree and based on his salary? That's your top four defensemen. So now we have a goalie and those four guys headlining your defense. They should be good. Don't even have to talk about the forwards. We have Sidney Crosby, who's been great, will be great, always great. We have Brian Rust, who's making money. He's hurt to start the year. We have Ricard Raquel, who signed a $30 million deal. He's supposed to be really good. I think he was hurt last year for a lot of the season. We have Evgeny Malkin making a ton of money as a second-line center. We have tons of older guys that Dubas brought in to compete and play on his bottom six. By the way, we have Drew O'Connor on the top line, who I think is an emerging high-impact player. You have about nine guys who I think can play on your bottom six, which has been a problem. Tell me why I shouldn't expect this team to be good. And if they don't make the playoffs, it's an abject failure. Tell me why Kyle Dubas didn't say that yesterday. Every team has prospects. The fact that the Penguins have a couple of prospects now is not really news. It's like saying in baseball, we have a few good players in AAA. Well, every team does. So what? They have a few extra draft picks now, the Penguins, in the second round? Who the hell cares? This team is paid to win now. They're built to win now. I think it's a better roster than a lot of people think. And they better win now. My God, how the expectations have lowered there and how acceptable it's become to local media and a lot of people who follow the Penguins. How in the world is that acceptable based on the roster, the pedigree, and the money? It's crazy.
Well, I think the first part of that comes in that they've missed the playoffs in two consecutive seasons with Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin playing every single game. And it's very fair to wonder, because that is the case, what if that happens for a third consecutive year? Because there were stretches in time when Malkin would miss games, Letang would miss games, when they were still winning in 18, 19, 20 after the two cup years. And they were still competitive into the playoffs, pretty comfortably into the playoffs, but then lacking success. Now you take a further step back. It's going to take a lot to make it a more substantial leap. And I don't trust Tristan Jarry.
It doesn't take a substantial leap. Well, that's fine. Then get rid of him. You're paying him $28 million. And again, he's a two-time All-Star who has shown for long stretches that he's capable of being a high-quality, high-impact goalie. So I'm not looking at Tristan Jarry like, he's okay. He's just part of all these low expectations. If he plays well, great. That would be fun. If he doesn't, that's okay too. Because we have prospects now. We have some extra second-round draft picks. Look at us. We're transitioning to a different kind of team. We win either way under Kyle Dubas. What a great job he's doing. Next. God, I can't stand that. I can't believe that people look at this roster and that's their thought. That get rid of people. Get Raquel out of here. Ask Carlson to waive his no trade. Ask Letang to go to Montreal. Start getting rid of people then. Don't bring in 17 guys who are between 28 and 33 to play your third and fourth lines. You're built to win now, and your GM and your coach should be standing in front of the fan base saying, we just missed the playoffs the last 2 years. We think guys have underachieved. We've underachieved. And if we don't make it this year, it's an abject failure. We need to make the playoffs and make noise in the playoffs for this to be a successful season, period. Anyway, I didn't mean to go back to that. Next. Mike Sullivan. Great interview with Seth Rohrbaugh of The Trib, where Sully pushes back and pushes back hard at his critics. Those who say the Penguins have sort of changed their style or not changed their style. And Sully says, we can go back and rehash and replay year to year some of those playoff rounds. I would argue that we deserved a better fate a few times. He might be right once or twice, but what's it been? It's been as long as Tomlin practically since they did anything in the playoffs, and they've missed 2 years in a row. And then Sully goes into this idea of the Penguins' speed game and their scheme and how he's unable to adjust. He says, we've made so many adjustments to our overall game and how we play in three zones in the 9 years that I've been here. When people suggest or people bang that drum, no one understands the specifics or the details of that narrative. Okay? You guys, the media, don't always see it. And I'm not going to share the details of what those look like. Okay. There's a narrative, Sully says, that the Penguins talk about speed and they're not fast enough. He says they are. He says their competitive advantage from the cup year may have changed, but they're still fast enough. And then as far as playing the young guys, he rails about that as well. Yes, I do. Yes, I have. And to all of that, I say this. Fine. What about the power play, Mike? You had maybe, and I don't think I'm overdoing it here, you had maybe, based on expectation and talent level on hand, the worst power play in the history of the NHL last year. You were 31st with all that money and all that talent. That's why you didn't make the playoffs. That and whatever you're doing in overtime, you're leaving points on the table left and right. I don't care about playing young guys right now. You haven't had any for a number of years, first of all. Secondly, scheme, X's and O's, screw all that. Find a way on your power play. That was a massive, historic franchise embarrassment. Deliver the baby. We won't get into all the intricacies of the X's and O's. I don't care. Deliver the baby. You have a roster, again, for the 10th time, with tons of talent. Way more than people think around the league, which is amazing to me. And tens of millions invested in certain players. Find a way to be average on your power play. Because if you were merely average last year, you would have made the playoffs comfortably. Find a way in overtime. You know how many points you leave on the table in overtime? That's an embarrassment, too. Do those two things, merely those two, and you'll make the playoffs, I say, with ease. I think the Penguins are going to finish second in their division this year and have a renaissance-type season. I'm sorry, I expect a lot from that roster. I apologize in advance to everybody out there who may be offended by the fact that I think a roster that begins with Sidney Crosby, Brian Rust, Eric Karlsson, Chris Letang, Marcus Pedersen, Tristan Jarry should be a really good team. I apologize. Next. You know what we're not talking about enough here?
Pitt football?
Yes, Pitt football. I just wrote about them today, and here's how I feel about this 5-0 start. I think it entitles Pitt fans to dream a little bit. Dream about the college football playoff. Dream about playing Penn State in the college football playoff. When you get off to a start like this at 5-0, and you haven't lost for a month, and Pitt fans don't even know what this feels like, because it hasn't happened since 1991 that they've started 5-0, you're entitled to dream anything, to talk anything about your team, because you haven't lost yet. And I always used to marvel in the old Big East in its final days in the early 2000s, how every other team, even Rutgers, even UConn, South Florida, Cincinnati, of course, West Virginia multiple times under Rich Rod, their fan bases for at least 1 year got to enjoy the fruits of a fast start. They got to celebrate that. They got to dream. They got to think big things for their team. And you, like I said, you're entitled to do that when your team hasn't lost yet. You are. Pat Forty, who I think is as good as any college football writer around, has Pitt as an at-large 9 seed playing at Indiana. If they can play at Indiana, they could play at Penn State, right?
Yeah.
Stadium, first round.
Why not? That's huge, because that would, assume that Miami wins the ACC and Pitt would be the second team in the ACC and the ACC gets 2 bids.
Something like that. Yeah, I don't know. They'd be playing at Penn State. That's the point. And you have every right to think that right now, to believe that and to dream that. That's the benefit of a fast start. Even when Pitt, and it was a fabulous year in 21 with Kenny Pickett, it was. But the big dream died when Pitt lost at home to Western Michigan. And then it was crushed for good when they lost at home again to a heavy underdog in Miami. That's what I'm trying to get across here, is that it's been 34 years since Pitt fans got to revel in a 5-0 start. And I think that's about the line where you start saying, hey, this could really be something. Now, they could lose Saturday. Of course they could, to Cal. But what does that have to do with today, city limits? This is a time to enjoy. This is Rutgers from 2006. Even Rutgers got to enjoy this. They started 9-0. And landed at number 7 in the polls. Rutgers back in 2006. Cincinnati, you may remember, was 12-0 and number 5 in 09. South Florida started 6-0 in 2007 and rose to number 2. Nobody thought South Florida was going to win the national championship at that point. But that's not the point. The point is, every day was Mardi Gras for South Florida fans because their team was 6-0 and it was possible. You're entitled to dream, think, talk about anything when your team hasn't lost a game yet. That's the beauty of it. West Virginia did it a bunch of times. Started, 7-0 in 06. Were in the top 5 for a number of weeks. And then they started 4-0 and 10-1 in 2007. And then, refresh my memory, there was a game, what was it, Morgantown, I think? 13-8, 13-9. What was the final score of that game?
13-9.
13-9, right. I seem to remember that one.
There's a shirt in the studio that says it right there.
Yeah, there is. their fans got to dream. So if I'm a Pitt fan right now, man, am I loving this. You have Eli Holstein, who right now looks like a Heisman candidate. Just a revelation. I would sit in the studio and talk to people, and they would tell me that Nate Yarnell, like as recently as the beginning of August or mid-August, was going to be the guy here. They weren't all that high on Holstein. I would always say, well, why bring in a guy from Alabama if he's not going to play?
Former four-star, could be five-star guy. Like,
he's a star. And their offense is averaging 45.6 points a game, sixth in the country. This right now, October 9th, is that the date today?
Yes.
October 9th, 2024 at 10:33 and 39 seconds is an awesome time to be a Pitt fan. Your team hasn't lost yet. And that doesn't mean they're 0-0. They're 5-0. So for the first time, probably for most of you out there in your lives, you get to revel in that kind of start. You get to legitimately think, we could be in the playoff. We could. There could be another backyard brawl in the playoff. That's possible too, by the way.
Unlikely, but yes.
Why unlikely?
West Virginia's going to win the Big 12 or go to the playoff?
West Virginia has a higher percent chance than Pitt right now, according to ESPN.
I think that's because the Big 12 doesn't have a true fit. Like, Iowa State's their
favorite. I don't care what the reason is. There's a chance there could be another backyard brawl.
I'd put it at very, very slim 5%, but
okay,
maybe that's the chance.
I don't know why. The Big 12 stinks. West Virginia could get in just as easily as anybody else.
I think you're pulling straws, though, at that point.
Okay. Could be a Penn State game.
That's
Am I pulling
likely.
Straws there?
No, that's more likely.
I feel reprimanded by City Limits early in the show. But your Penguins hat is terrific. Limits, you on board with the Utah Hockey Club? Were you watching that game last night? And do you like the name? I love it. And yes, I was.
I feel like the Utah Hockey Club is just so close to the resemblance of the Washington football team that...
But that doesn't exist anymore.
I know.
They should have kept it, by the way,
I
as
agree.
The Washington football team.
Well, Commanders is just fine. I was looking at
Commanders
something...
sucks. It's not fine.
It's just whatever.
I like
football
this.
Team better because it's unique. It's just, it's so dumb it fits.
I know. You know? That's what I think. Yes.
And that's why I don't like Utah Hockey Club.
The Utah Hockey Club. I think it's awesome.
Did you see some of the videos that they were putting out there yesterday? ESPN was showing on the broadcast of the obstructed views behind one of the nets. I guess there's like a whole, I think, two or three sections where you can only see one of the goalies. You can only see one of the nets.
Really?
You can't see the other side of the ice.
I love it.
Like, you cannot see anything from basically the blue paint and behind.
And I'm not expecting much from the Utah Hockey Club, just like the Penguins. It'll be great if they get to the playoffs, great if they don't. Everything's wonderful. No need for expectations. The Penguins are just like the Utah Hockey Club, I guess. All right, we have the general waiting on the line for Starkey's Card of the Week. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. The last time you signaled me like that was yesterday when Robert Saleh got fired. What's happening?
Not as big news, but Devontae Adams is not expected to play this week against the Steelers with a hamstring injury.
Yeah, it was almost weird to hear Tomlin give us a complete scouting report as if he thought he might play.
Hmm.
Not only will he not play, he might be on a different team, including Tomlin's team, very soon.
Did you think at all, at least it was in the back of my mind, that Tomlin was saying that just publicly, how much he's praising Devontae Adams, how much he likes
maybe.
Devontae
yeah,
Adams?
Maybe.
Did you hear this, Devontae?
That could be. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. The Steelers have injury problems. I mean, this sort of got overshadowed by everything else happening yesterday. The Pickens situation, the quarterback situation. They've been dealing with some very impactful injuries. Let me ask you this, Wonder Twin. Which of these has been the biggest and is the biggest this week? Might be two different questions. Jaylen Warren, now Cordarrelle Patterson, Nick Herbig, Alex Highsmith. Those are some pretty big injuries. Which is the biggest?
Honestly, I think it's Alex Highsmith.
Yeah.
Because we saw Nick Herbig in spurts play very well. I think he's been better against the run. He's not as good as Alex Highsmith against the run. Pass rushing wise, he's been good. But I was wrong. I thought Nick Herbig was going to be the level of impactful player that Alex Highsmith has been. And in both facets of the game, pass rushing and run defense, Highsmith's better, and they're missing that.
I agree, especially the run part. I thought Herbig actually had a pretty good game the other night, and I noticed after he went out that when did he go out of the game? Was it early?
I think it
fourth?
Was early. Yeah, early.
They seemed to do more running after that. I thought he had a pretty good all-around game the other night. He's the biggest new injury for me, but Highsmith has been the biggest. I forgot James Daniels. I mean, guys, and Fatone. Now that I look at it, they've been crushed by injuries, haven't they?
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I include that one because I think if Russell Wilson was in the prime of his career, if this was Ben, that he would have played every game so far. That's my opinion, and I can't get out of my mind that he told Adam Schefter, or Adam Schefter reported, I should say, that Wilson told the coaches going into week one that he was available to play. So I don't know about that one, but I'll tell you the second one for me is Jaylen Warren. Jaylen Warren would have surprised nobody by seizing the majority of the touches this season, right?
Exactly.
I mean, you could almost refer to him as their number one back, their best running back. This dude averaged over 5 yards a carry last season. The Steelers told the world that they don't think enough of Najee to even give him a fifth year. So who would have been surprised if Jaylen Warren was the guy at the beginning of the year? Not me. And I think that's a giant injury. And Najee just, I thought he started out pretty well, but he just looks horrible. And it was never more on display than in the Indy game when it was like, here's a carry to Cordero. He bursts through the line and gets a huge gain. Here's a carry to Najee. He trudges up to the line and there's no gain. And that just kept going. Like it was never more in your face than watching that game that, oh my God, here you have one guy who hits the hole and makes yards and another guy who doesn't. And it's hard to imagine there are any good reasons why one is doing it and the other isn't. Other than, is Cordarrelle Patterson better than Najee? I remember watching Will Levis last year on a Monday night. I forget who they were playing. Maybe the Steelers, actually. It was a night game. And talking and writing the next day, like, oh my God, is Will Levis better than Kenny Pickett, too? And now I'm starting to feel that way about running backs around the league. Like, wait a second. Is the kick returner a better running back than Najee? I mean, this is disturbing. He's averaging 3.3 yards a carry, which is exactly what Trent Richardson averaged in his final year in the league. I love Najee's heart. I was pumping him up early in the season. I think I even got delusional and said they should sign him. That's what his kind of spirit and hard running style can engender in somebody. Like, you know, you fall in love with the running style. But I've quickly come back to my senses that told me when they didn't give him the fifth-year option that they were smart not to do that, because it's sort of always been my take when it became clear who Najee was, which is, you know, he's an okay running back. I think he should get used more as a receiver. But when that became clear, my take was, man, you can get a lot of guys to give you that kind of production if you give them that many touches, especially. It's disturbing watching him right now. And as far as I'm concerned, Jaylen Warren can't get back fast enough. You agree?
Yeah, that's kind of my barometer for who's the second guy behind Highsmith, because Warren's your speed guy, Najee's your power guy. But at the same time, when Jaylen Warren hits the hole, finds it, he's gone. He has the speed to be able to do that. And behind this offensive line that's pretty pedestrian, that's banged up, that has guys hurt all over the place, Najee Harris is a power guy who does not have the speed and quickness to hit the hole, to find where he needs to go. And he just seems like he's slower than a lot of the other running backs that the Steelers have on the roster. And behind this line, that is also not going to work. He doesn't look like he fits in this Arthur Smith scheme. I would have given him the option. I'm glad they didn't.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. High 64 today. With sunny skies, it's time for Starkey's Card of the Week. Top of the hour, Big Ben had some interesting things to say about the Steeler offense. That's one that jumped off the page. He delivered a critique of Justin Fields. He delivered a critique of George Pickens and what he makes of the offense. You'll hear some of those clips from Ben's podcast coming up next. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. And for that, we bring on Jeff Patton. We like to call him General Patton from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Limits, do you have a guess for the card of the week? I'm going to go with the kickoff of a new Penguin season tonight, a Sidney Crosby card. You?
That's a very good guess. I'm going to go with the man who hit a big home run last night in the game I was watching, Dodgers-Padres, Fernando Tatis, moonshot home run.
I love that pick. General, how are you?
Gentlemen, good morning. Thanks for having me. The expectations may be varied for the Penguins, but they're always high at Starkey's card of the week. Joe, you nailed it. We're going with the Sidney Crosby.
Oh, yeah.
In homage to a great career, we're going with a great card this week. It's a Sidney Crosby Parkhurst rookie card. And as I was listening to you guys, I'm staring at this card, and it's hard to believe it's 19 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Got a fresh-faced Sidney Crosby here at 18 years old on a rookie card. Everyone would love to add to their collection.
Holy bird milk. That's an unbelievable card right there. Yeah. It's hard to believe it was that long ago. I think that Sid, I mean, he was great, really, in his first home game. He had an assist in his first game, which was in Jersey. But I thought he really announced himself. And I was watching this game with my friend Chris Danaher down on the waterfront at a bar. I know not where. I've forgotten. In that Flyers game in Philly. When Darian Hatcher knocked two of his teeth out, or at least halves of his teeth, and Sid came back to score the winning goal with that ferocious look on his face. Do you remember that game, General?
I certainly do, along with 1,000 other highlights in his career. Maybe the most underrated part is 19-year run and never controversy, right? Never, almost to the point where we take him for granted.
It's unbelievable. And your card of the week is spectacular, and you've become a wonderful man. Yeah, you always were. There's no becoming there. You always were a wonderful man, General.
Hey, let's throw in one other obscure thing here. Louis Tiant passed yesterday. He made a brief appearance with the Pittsburgh Pirates, throwing 9 games in 1981. He had one card as a Pirate. I'm going to throw that in also. Anybody over 50 wanted to be Louis Tiant when they were a kid.
No kidding, man. I had the wind-up in wiffle ball where you turn your back to the batter and tip your head up in the air. And then come back around, and I had a nice little screwball. He was great, wasn't he? So much fun to watch.
He should be a Hall of Famer.
I agree. Everybody else is getting in. Why not a guy like him who had decent enough numbers, plus he was an unbelievable showman? Everybody else gets in. Why not him?
And a big game pitcher to boot.
I shouldn't say everybody gets in. The greatest players of all time don't get in. But he was he was before all of that. Thank you, General.
You're welcome. You guys have a great day.
What a man he is. Huh, Limits?
One of my favorites.
A Sidney Crosby card and a Louis Tiant card? That's unbelievable. Have you looked at his motion, his pitching motion since yesterday?
Yeah, of course. I've seen him before. Like, I know who he is. I've seen the motion. Pretty unique.
You should employ that in wiffle ball. You're a big wiffle ball player out in Baldwin.
I did used to, and I mean, I guess I still do. I'm playing in a Fall League, actually, that's going on for a couple weeks on Sundays.
Incredible.
It started last week. Pretty impromptu thing. But, yeah, I have a pretty big motion to the left because I'm a left-handed pitcher.
Yeah.
Not very good left-handed pitcher.
Do you have any donuts? I'm hungry.
No. Would you like to order some?
Do they deliver donuts? I guess they deliver anything these days.
I guess.
Don't they? Does, like, Dunkin' do, what do they call it? Dash something dash? Food dash? This dash, that dash?
Yes.
Help me out here. What's that
called?
Well,
I know what it's called, but I don't know if we're like...
allowed to say it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get some donuts. Can we?
Sure.
I could eat about 3 of them.
We also have Slice coming soon.
Ooh.
Slice on Broadway will be here.
Nothing like donuts and pizza to help my weight issues, right?
You know, your diet can hold off for a day.
What kind of donut would you like?
I like glazed donuts, but I like chocolate donuts with sprinkles. Like the regular donut with chocolate icing.
Wonderful. Yeah, I want a pumpkin spice donut to celebrate the season. Plus, I like them to go with coffee.
I like pumpkin pie. We should order pumpkin pie one day.
My wife got an incredible, I can't remember where she got it from. Of course, I'm probably not allowed to say that either. But she brought home, like from a farmer's market or someplace the other day, an incredible pumpkin pie.
It might be the
best I've ever had.
Yeah.
And I ate 3/4 of it. And they were all yelling at me at home. You take a little piece of the pumpkin pie limits and put whipped cream on it. Is there anything better?